Hi, Jim Corrigan. Dennis, I know that some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey. What is high sticking?
High sticking happen when the guy take the stick, you know, and he go like that. You know, you don't do that.
You don't do that?
Oh, no, never, never.
Why not?
Against the rules. You know, you're stupid when you do that. Just some English pig with no brain
Dennis,
at all, you know.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. Imagine a roster full of hockey heroes and you working towards a better tomorrow for Winnipeg's most vulnerable residents. The guys you grew up watching, guys like Lori Boschman, Dave and Wayne Babich, Trevor Kidd, and many more, they could be on your team at Seven Oaks Arena on December 5th and 6th for the first annual Hockey Helps the Homeless tournament here in Winnipeg. Join the team. Donate to a player, support a team, or volunteer your time at the event. Go
before
to
hth.com
for complete details. Hockey Helps the Homeless is proudly presented by Canada Life and is a registered Canadian charity.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
Why did you stop the jazz music? Was it not pleasant for you?
No one plays jazz here.
So why is the song on the jukebox?
We keep it on there for profiling purposes. We also got the Pet Shop Boys and Seal.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
I can't understand a word you said the whole time.
Did you eat some peanut butter or something?
On the dashboard, baby, take a ride and come home. There's nothing left to lose but the moon, now the money's all gone. And when you get back down. Wait all night for you to come around. I'd like to get to know you, but you're 40 light years away.
A little closer, but you're 40 light years away. Welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you along today, folks. A lot to talk about as we get back into our regular routine of stuff here. Before we break for other stuff at the end of the month here, we got lots of stuff going on, though, in and around this show, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. However, happy to have with me, to my left, co-hosting tonight, as you read the show preview on Hockey Blog in Canada, Bean's setting up the triage unit at his house, as he's got tons of sick family members, so it's going around, apparently, but I'm glad to have this guy in. Jason Pajak, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, how are you?
I'm all right. You might recognize him from Bison Men's Hockey play-by-play, and or his role with the Manitoban as sports editor. How was that role going for you anyway?
It's going pretty well. It's we're deep into the publication year now.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, reporters coming in. The office was abuzz with new hires yesterday for a
nice
little workshop.
Right,
so
on.
Everything's going pretty well.
I'm gonna fade out Colin James. Colin James, I'm gonna turn the turns up a little bit. Brand new stuff from Colin James, folks. This came out just in August, I guess late August. I had been listening to it a little bit, forgot all about it until it popped up on my iPod the other day. So I know I still use an iPod for everybody that laughs about that. There you go. So Colin James, 40 light years right there. I'll talk a little bit about what's going to go on in a couple of weeks, because I'm sure you'll hear that song again at some point here on this station. But it's been a busy week, busy couple of weeks anyway. Let's see, NHL back in business. Mm-hmm. I got the U Sports schedule kicked off. We got a little AHL action going on. We got some WHL action going on in two Manitoba cities now.
Yeah.
So it's good to see everything sort of back and going. But let's start with the big club. Let's get into this. Let's have some fun with this, because Jets come back. They play tonight, home opener against Minnesota at 7 p.m. tonight. It'll be on, I believe it on TSN3 as well, in terms of it being on TV. But Jets come back off the road from a New York / Pittsburgh road swing, 2-2.
Yeah.
Thoughts on, let's start with the first game, the season opener on the third. Jets and Rangers, 6-4 win for New York on a night where Connor Hellebuyck felt he played good enough.
I wouldn't say that. There were a few times where he looked pretty shaky in there. That's obviously why Laurent Brossois got the next two starts.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But there were a few spots. You know, this year it's going to be, you know, I like to say when people ask, you know, because obviously people ask me about like how I think the Jets are going to do this year. And I say they're either going to miss the playoffs or they're going to win the Stanley Cup. It's one of those weird years where this team, if they just get into the playoffs, everything can just click and they'll be straight on through, or everything will fall apart and they're just going to slip further and further down the standings until there's nothing left. And that's kind of what it looked like in game one. It showed flashes. There were great things. Ville Heinola is my favorite Winnipeg Jet right now. I think he's absolutely fantastic. Anthony Boteto is my least favorite Winnipeg Jet right now.
All right,
I've got some thoughts on him. But it was really, it just showed exactly what we're in for that first game this year. High-powered offense can get it done, can score lots of goals, but you can't outscore your problems every single night. That's something that Dallas had trouble with the last few years until Ben Bishop came in and started to be Ben Bishop. So that's kind of what the Jets are going to be in for a lot this year. And we saw it the rest of the week.
You know, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think the Jets in that Rangers game certainly looked like they were a little bit overwhelmed in terms of their back end, the defensive core, as you mentioned, with a couple of those players. Little overwhelmed, maybe because we're playing three, possibly even four AHL-caliber defensemen at the NHL level right now. You are right, though. Ville Heinola has been fantastic so far. Good for the 18-year-old. I think regardless of nine games this season, he's staying with the big club. Jets come out of that game talking about maybe wanting to do a little bit better, maybe play a little bit better, roll into New Jersey, just down 30 miles away from Madison Square Garden, get down 4-0, and then use 20 minutes and 11 seconds to roar back and tie the game up. Goals by Kulikov, Roslovic, Perreault, Pionk. And then go to the shootout where Blake Wheeler dangles a little bit and scores the winner. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde in terms of the way this defense plays.
It's either, I think we can get to it when we talk about the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
But what Paul Maurice is doing now with the defense, having them more active, playing higher up in the zone when they're cheating a little bit defensively. You know, they're not sliding back as much when the forecheck is coming towards them. It's done a great job because you've got the guys like Pionk and Niku who are there, and they're the more offensively minded defensemen that they can jump in and know how to, they've got the speed and the talent to get in there and strip those pucks away. It's kind of like it's a 50-50 shot because you either, you know, you lose somebody and then it's going back towards your net. There was the one shot, I can't remember, I think it might have been Coleman in overtime where I think it was Pionk just lost him.
Yeah.
He just absolutely walks straight in down the left side, takes that shot on Laurent Brossois, and I was screaming at my television, like, how do you lose a guy like that? There are three other people on the ice wearing different colored jerseys from you. How do you lose one of them?
The thing that kills me, and I mean, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm way off on this, is that you mentioned that they have offensively minded defensemen. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with defense jumping in. My problem, though, is that offensively gifted defensemen, I'm going to term it a little bit differently, but offensively gifted defensemen still have the word defense in their title. And at some point, these guys have got to learn how to play a little defense. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that they can't play defense. It's not to say that they won't play defense. But when you look at a team, and I'll make an example right now, coming in tonight, Jordan Greenway, Eric Staal.
I love Jordan Greenway.
You got some monster big kids coming in to push around these lightweight defensemen. And don't get me wrong, this is a very small defensive unit without Bufflin on there. Can a Ville Heinola take on a Jordan Greenway?
Definitely not.
I don't think so in terms of power. Skating, probably, but I don't know if the power. So if Greenway just sets up in front of the net,
who's going
to
move him?
We're going to ask somebody, Line A, Wheeler, somebody to come along and move him, because I don't know if there's any Jets defender that can do that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, the offensive skill, there's kind of the misnomer that the offensive skills don't help you defensively, but they can. It's the same. It's the same as, you know, how Patrick Laine, everyone's saying that, oh, he's a great shot, but he's not a good passer. Shooting and passing are functionally the same. It's just your target's different. And, you know, Patrick Laine is good at passing the puck. We all know this. We've seen it to start the year. If you have those offensive skills, something that Pionk has with his skating and his speed and his abilities on the forecheck getting into those areas, he can use those in the defensive zone to close gaps, get in passing lanes, create pressure. It's just having the presence of mind to turn those skills the other way. We've seen it a little bit here and there with him. There have been a few times where I've been very happy with just the little things that he's done, tracking players, moving them outside, getting into lanes, just having the awareness of where he has to be to break up a play. I don't like that he's not breaking up plays at the blue line.
Somebody like
a Josh Morrissey can do.
Right.
But once he's in the zone, he's done a better job of breaking up plays a little bit more and using his abilities to get into those areas. And it's the same thing you've seen with Heinola. Is it Heinola or Heinola?
I from the way it's been pronounced over the course of the last 2 weeks by various radio personalities, I'm convinced it's either or at this point.
Yeah, but he's the same thing where he's quick, he's good on his feet, he's a great skater, but he sticks to you like duct tape. And that's the good thing about him, is that he sticks to you like duct tape, and that's something you can use at both ends of the ice. It's just that it's the defenseman we have. Like when Pionk came in, that was kind of the argument that I had, is that he has those tools there, but we just need somebody like a Bufflin, like a Josh Morrissey, to show him this is how you have to play. This is how you fill out that other side of your game, because he's only played just over 100 games in the NHL.
Yeah.
He still has a lot of growth to go through. He's still got a lot to learn. He's playing on a much better team in the Winnipeg Jets than what he played in last year's version of the New York Rangers. So he still got a little bit of growing to do. But I think with the system that's up there now, he's kind of being relied upon to be the example and to lead, which is not a good thing.
See, I don't have a problem with Pionk. Again, you're just talking about Pionk, you know, not really being, you know, sort of that veteran guy to lean on in the defensive zone. But I don't have a problem, and I'll say this only because I think it mirrors the way the Jets were built last year, in that Morrissey was the stopper. He was the guy that, if you needed a stop, you ran out Morrissey and Trouba. It wasn't Trouba that made all the stops. It was Morrissey that was the better defender
and
on
Trouba
that pairing.
Trouba got the puck out.
Trouba was the guy that moved the puck. Secondarily, onto that line, you had you know, Bufflin and whoever he was lining up with at that point. And again, same thing. Bufflin was more the offensive guy, more get the puck out, more that kind of. They need to find, and I hate to say this, but they need to find Pionk a defensive defenseman to play with. And if they can do that, and again, he didn't work that well with, you know, with a Tucker Poolman or whoever was beside him. I mean, him and Heinlein are virtually the same. They think the same way when they're pushing puck up the ice. But Pionk playing alongside, say, a Morrissey, or Pionk playing alongside, I can't remember who he was with in the Pittsburgh game, but gives him the ability to get out there and skate a little bit more. And I think the Jets need to look at either going out and finding a guy like that who can sit back and who can take some of the log some of those heavy minutes, that so that Pionk can be the offensive guy, get that fourth guy into the zone and really overpower a team. Because we saw the New York Islanders do that extremely well against Winnipeg, where they activated their D and were all over Winnipeg.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they need to do. When I kind of, before the year started, I think it was just before preseason, I wrote a blog post about what I thought the Jets needed to do with their defensive pairings, and I said, put Morrissey with Pionk, because Morrissey's going to cover up the blemishes in Pionk's game and it will help him learn. And what I said for the second pair, put Sammy Niku with Dustin Bufflin to do the exact same thing.
I mean, look, I wrote the tweet about this, and I know you liked it, and I know you retweeted it. At what point, and I don't know where, and I don't know how, and I don't know who they are, but I don't. The Jets either need to fire their entire pro scouting department, or find somebody who's maybe watched a game or two, because I don't know how you give a one-way contract to a guy like Anthony Potetto when you put Sammy Niku down on the Moose. And I understand the reason for him going to the Moose is because they had to carry Dahlstrom after claiming him on waivers. Why did you claim Dahlstrom? You didn't need him. I mean, injuries and personal stuff in the Pittsburgh game, you did need the extra body. I get that. But you had Nosier who could have gone in. Nosier could have gone in at that point as well. You do not need Carl Dahlstrom at any point, and yet you go out and grab him and put him onto your, you have to carry him for 30 days now.
Yep.
and then you're just going to wave him to put him back down on the moose anyway. So what was the point of that?
Yeah, it's one of those things where the waiver system is utterly broken. Because it,
I mean, I like what it's doing, though. Don't get me wrong. I understand where you're going to go with this. I agree, though, that if you pick up a guy on waivers, you shouldn't be allowed to demote him immediately.
Yeah.
Like, that part is, it forces you, it forces the team that's going to claim the guy to actually go out and play the guy.
Yeah.
So if you're going to claim the guy, you got to deal with him now.
Yeah.
But I despise the fact that we make these bad decisions at the management level.
Yeah. The signing of Boteto, after watching him in the preseason, I was baffled because I went to a few games and was able to watch, and my friend Sarah, God love her, because she was sitting there and I was screaming about Anthony Boteto the entire game, because just watching him play gives me a headache, because he just loses people. You know, the exact same thing Dahlstrom did with Sidney Crosby.
Yes.
On Tuesday, it's
30 seconds into the game.
It's just it looks, you know, his head's on a swivel, but like the lights are on and nobody's home. He's looking around and he's trying to assess what's going on, but the play's going on around him and he's not putting himself in the right spot. He's losing the man he's supposed to cover, or he's just following the wrong part of the play from where he has to be. And I think that's the difference between an NHL defenseman and an AHL defenseman, is that the thinking the game is on a totally different level. Like, I will, of course, Anthony Boteto is a better player than I have ever been, because
I'm not gonna
professional.
Say, yeah.
But you look at him and you think, what needs to happen?
But comparatively to a guy, and we saw it in the Pittsburgh game, comparatively to a guy like a Sami Niku, who can come in, who joins the play, who jumps into the rush, who can get back, who finds his man on the defensive back check fairly quickly.
Yeah.
He is a different style of player comparatively to an Anthony Boteto, and I get that. Like, he's an offensive defenseman. He's got, you know, good awareness. He's played at the world junior level. He's been an outstanding defenseman for a long time.
Yep.
But this is why Anthony Boteto should not have a one-way deal.
Yes. I completely agree with you. And I've heard a lot of people, I listened to the Steve Dangle podcast and a few other ones, and they talk a lot about why is Edmonton not going and like picking up guys that are on waivers and like to fix the problems they've got, and why is Winnipeg, you know, letting all of these great defensemen just slip through waivers and not taking a chance on them? And it's frustrating because they've hamstrung themselves with this number of NHL contracts. You're only allowed 50 NHL contracts at any given time, and most teams sit around 47. That's kind of the consensus of what is comfortable for GMs, because that gives you the flexibility to take on an extra contract or to lose one. But, you know, that makes waivers kind of a pointless exercise, because everyone is too afraid to pick somebody up, because they're going to have to use them, and then that adds an extra contract to you, and it completely, you know, shoots all creativity in the foot. But then you have teams like Winnipeg who hamstring themselves by signing too many NHL contracts with these guys when they have bodies that can fill in.
See, and I'm of the mind, and this is where I don't understand. I'm not a GM, and I'm certainly not qualified to be a GM in any case, in any way, shape, or form either. But I'm of the mind where you go into training camp with 30, 35 contracts, and you just wait for waiver day, because there's going to be good talent available. And if you don't find them, there's still good free agents out there that are waiting. Jason Pominville, who scored 20 goals last year, is sitting on the sidelines right now.
Yep.
And we have Gabriel Bork playing on our third line. We have Letestu, who played one NHL game, centering our fourth line. And I'm not taking nothing away from those two guys. They're going to come in. They're doing their job, I assume. But why?
Letestu's not doing bad.
But why are we playing those guys when David Gustafson, our second round pick from 2018, is sitting in the press box?
He's right there and he's ready.
And he's a defensive. Granted, he's a young kid, but he's not going to learn the game by watching it from 100 feet above the ice.
Like, there's an argument to be made. Honestly, I think the way the Edmonton Oilers have run their team for the last 8 to 10 years has scared the crap out of NHL GMs, where they're not willing to take the chances on these, unless they're a Connor McDavid level talent, a guy you cannot argue belongs in the, like a Nick Ehlers, who you cannot argue doesn't belong in your NHL lineup. They are petrified of putting young guys in a position where they might crash and burn.
when I see a guy like Josh Hosang, who has all the talent in the world, bit of a basket case, won't deny that. But you think of the way that some of these NHL GMs run their, again, you can't really moneyball, quote unquote, moneyball it, because you're playing for 82 games, you got to get work guys in, there's all sorts of rules. But when I look at teams passing by Josh Hosang, just passing him by, because they're either afraid to take on the head case and work with them, they're either afraid to go out there and maybe anger Lou, because Lou's going to be, you know, Lou's going to grab somebody from you then.
Yep.
Who cares?
Let him.
Or C, you just don't want to deal with Hosang in terms of the contract and everything like that, you know, all the stuff that's gone on behind the scenes. Again, I don't know what the deal is, but when you have world-class talent being sent down to Bridgeport, somebody, and I'm not talking, there's a lot of teams out there that are terrible teams, one of those teams has to claim him. He's better than half your roster already.
Yeah. The one argument I will make is that Edmonton, they're at 48 contracts right now. They'll put that at 49, which kind of is a bit of an issue when it's not a proven thing with a Hosang.
I will say, before you go on about Edmonton, I think that Ken Holland has done a good job at, I won't say solving their problem, but certainly he has band-aided that problem a lot better than I think Peter Chiarelli ever did.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that Ken Holland deserves, you know, GM of the Year award yet. I mean, and we're only three games in for the Edmonton Oilers. But I think the fact that he hired a great coach who consistently preaches defense to a team that I don't think he'd even heard the word before. Not only does he preach that, he punishes players who don't play defense. Mm-hmm. Defense leads to offense. We know this in most cases. I think that what Ken Holland has done so far in Edmonton has been... I'm not going to say the rebirth of the Oilers, the run and gun Oilers, but at least we're starting to see McDavid smile a little bit more on the ice.
Yeah, and you know, they've rewoken the real deal James Neal, apparently.
Get him a guy who can set him up, and Dreisaitl looks like he's you know, all world at this point. Mm-hmm. Even Ryan Nugent Hopkins as a third line center is playing out of his mind. So, hey, whatever's going on in Edmonton, that's great. I think there really needs to be a good, hard look at some of these GMs as to who there's. I know you got to fill out the roster in training camp. I know you got to do that. But the AHL starts 2 weeks after you're even talking about having training camp.
Yeah.
Just use some of those players until the waiver wire guys come up, and all of a sudden, boom, you're signing guys and making deals. And
or, you know, take the fact that you've lost basically half of your defensive core as a sign saying, okay, time to test these prospects we've been working on for the past 2, 3, 4 years in some cases.
The develop part of draft and develop? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. That part that Kevin Cheveldayoff seemed petrified of for so long until, you know, guys like Mark Scheifele were, you know, aging out of junior and, you know, he was kind of forced to play these guys. I think now is the time. You know, last year was the time where we should have had a solid look at Sammy Niku, Eric Comrie, Nick Patan, Mason Appleton. Like, it was getting to that point where it's like, okay, you've got a team here that can succeed. Bring the young guys in and give them the starts that they need. And no, they're going to go out and get like the Matt Hendricks, and they're going to go get all these depth pieces. We're seeing the fruits of that inaction right now, where we don't know who these players are. We don't know what they can do at the NHL level, because Tucker Poolman, we haven't seen him play an NHL game in 2 years.
Well, and part of that was due to injury, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but these are the things that start years in advance. So if you get to a situation like this, you can throw those guys in and be confident that they can succeed because they've already succeeded.
So tonight's game at 7 p.m. He happens here at Bell MTS Place. Wild coming in 0-2, only scored 4 goals so far this season. Let's do a little predicting, little shot in the dark here. What do you think happens tonight, Jay?
This is going to be an interesting game.
Don't forget, Wild were perfect against the Jets last year. But beat them in every game.
This is a different Jets team, and this is a very weird Minnesota Wild team.
Yes.
I actually said Kevin Fiala is one of the players that I'm going to watch this year because I think he's in a much better situation in Minnesota if they can take advantage of his skill set, which is he doesn't take a lot of shots, but he takes a lot of high danger shots.
Yeah.
If you can get him a guy that can feed him the puck and, you know, take a little bit of pressure away from him, he's going to rip you apart. And with the defensive core that Winnipeg's throwing out there, I think Kevin Fiala is going to have a nice night tonight.
See, and that's the funny part, because everybody said, oh, Pittsburgh's just going to run all over them, and Pittsburgh didn't do anything against them. And I mean, maybe that's the thing, is that, although, and I want to qualify that, Pitetto and Kulikov are back in the lineup tonight, so.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right, and you're probably more right than wrong, but Jets going to have an extended homestand here to sort of see how they play. They do leave after this, after the Minnesota game, to go to Chicago, are back on Sunday against Pittsburgh, followed by Arizona, might see Eric Comrie. The Islanders in town after they beat down the Jets 4-1 earlier this week. Edmonton comes to town on the 20th, so we'll get to see the McDavid show. LA Kings, who are having an absolutely brutal season so far, and the Calgary Flames, who are underperforming. It's a 9 p.m. start for that Tim Hortons NHL Heritage Classic.
Why?
9 p.m. Central.
Isn't it in Regina?
It is.
That should be the same time.
But there's probably a Toronto game on before that, so there you go. So anyway, that's what's leading up to it. Jets got a pile of home games leading up to the Heritage Classic. We'll talk a little bit about the Heritage Classic next week in terms of getting stuff going for that. However, tonight, Jets in Minnesota, so tune into TSN at 7 p.m. Catch all the action there. We got a couple of minutes before the break here. Let's break into what the men did, because the Bison men were a little busy this past week as they went on the road during the conference bye. Decided to play a little hockey against UND and the University of Nebraska Omaha. Jay, did you keep up with any of those games?
I did not.
Okay, so let's break into this, because it didn't go so well in one game and went so well in another game. So I'm going to be honest with you. I don't expect many wins. I don't ever think we're going to get a win in North Dakota.
No, probably not.
North Dakota's pretty good, for people who don't know.
A few national championships under their belt.
A couple of banner hangings, yeah. I know I tweeted out, I was tweeting out to you guys, that 14 of the largest preseason crowds, of the 14 largest preseason crowds, to watch the Fighting Hawks play, 12 of those crowds came against Manitoba, which is kind of awesome, because everybody wants to come out and see their team play, and
yep.
Nice to see everybody in North Dakota doing a good job at filling the seats. 13 of those 14 games came against Canada West opponents. Regina was the other one. So there are the setup, including this week's game against North Dakota, which set the record for the highest paid attendance for preseason games. Congratulations to North Dakota and Manitoba, I guess, for doing that. Again, it's only preseason. I know we're not talking regular season or postseason, because obviously we don't play NCAA, but yeah, things didn't go so well. Manitoba actually scored the first goal of the game. Colton Veloso scored on the power play at 13:05. But that lead lasted just 2:27. Jacob Bernard-Docker responded on a UND power play. Gavin Hayne added another one 2:40 later, and UND would go into the intermission with a 3-1 lead as Colin Adams converted on a power play with a goal with 33 seconds to play in the frame. So down 3-1 going into the intermission. Okay, well, Bisons gave up, a little bit of 3 goals in 5 minutes there, which wasn't so great, 4.5 minutes there. Hayne came out, added another goal in the second period. Shane Pinto added a power play goal in the third period. 5-1 final. Manitoba lost to North Dakota, which makes it like 200 straight to UND.
I mean, that's expected. It's the University of North Dakota.
Right. Which, I mean, again, I good for them that they're that good, and I certainly want to say that we have a chance at some point, but I don't think we ever do.
Not yet, at least. And, UND is my favorite NCAA program, but whenever the Bisons go in there, I really am kind of expecting a bit of a wallop.
So they went from that game on Saturday night to Omaha, Nebraska, to play the University of Nebraska Omaha Mavericks on Monday. Wow. Manitoba maybe whatever Mike Sarant said post-game really helped them, because here's what happened in that game. And again, I'm shocked at how well Manitoba came back. Timo Pulkkinen, who everybody knows as a former Detroit Red Wing, now playing in the KHL, has his namesake playing for Omaha Athletics. So Timo Pulkkinen, a Finn who's playing at Omaha, I'm going to precede the recap with a little note here. He's got 4 goals in 2 games against Manitoba.
Oh.
And they've played two total games over the last two seasons.
He likes to play.
He likes Manitoba a lot. Manitoba actually spotted the Bison's 1-0 lead. Keaton Jameson scored at 7:54.
Finally shooting more.
Polkinen took the pass from Ryan Jones, charged the net at 12:54, and buried another Omaha goal to make it 1-1. Taylor Ward added another goal at 7:19 to make it 2-1 as the Bisons went into the intermission down yet again. All right, no big deal. John Schultz made it a 3-1 game at 4:27 of the second period. So things are kind of going the same way they did in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. However, a goaltending change prompted the Manitoba Bisons for a comeback. Manitoba got a goal from Lucas Skrmita off a rebound at 10:53. And then in the third, the Bisons tied the game at 13:23 when Sean Christensen, he had a shot bounce off, looked like a player in front, to beat Austin Roden in the UNO cage. So 3-3 game, and it would actually end that way. 5-on-5 and 3-on-3 overtime. Mavericks had a bunch of better chances. They outshot Manitoba in the overtime period 11-6. But tie game for Manitoba. They went down there and played the NCAA UNO Nebraska-Omaha Mavericks to a tie. So congratulations to them. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was obviously the one thing that we keep seeing, and something I said on last week on Hear the Herd, is that this team, something that Mike Sharan has been saying the last couple of years, they need to play a full 60-minute game. And what I said last week is they need to play a full 60-minute game, but this team needs to compete for an entire weekend. They cannot rest on their laurels. They cannot take a night off. They need to just keep the pressure up and keep going. It's not what we saw on that first weekend, but it's definitely what you saw here, just responding the way that they did. It's a good sign, especially against a great NCAA program, an up-and-coming program like the Mavericks. So I was I'm very happy to to hear that.
Jonah Wasilek named his third star of the game. Taylor Ward with goal and assist. Timo Polkinen, second star, because he just lights up Manitoba everywhere they go, apparently. And Jonah Wasilek, third star in that game. So congratulations to the Bisons on their successful weekend down in the United States. They'll come back, travel to Calgary tomorrow as they get ready for the Mountain Royal Cougars. We'll talk about that on the other side of this break as we are going to jump in for the legal ID, about 25 seconds worth, here on the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. Oh, wait, hold on. Now, there we go.
What it do, was popping. It's yours truly, the icon, the legendary guru, in the building with my man.
Solar, 5,000 degrees and cooking, repping 7 grand, New York, and everything that's hot, dogs.
Doing it big right here on 101.5 UMFM, right here, Winnipeg. Stand up.
And we are back here on the Hockey Show, 101.5 UMFM, here with Jason Pajak, voice of Bison Men's Hockey, and certainly one of the key contributors to the Manitoban in terms of being the sports editor. So congratulations to him. Let's talk a little Bison's hockey now, because we got a couple of big weekends coming up here. It's the Bison's, who are 1-1 after a split with Lethbridge, travel to Mount Royal for the men's side as the Mount Royal Cougars, 2-0 after they laid a bit of a smackdown on, who'd they play, Regina last week? Was it Regina?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll figure it out in a second. Either way. Good weekend. Good weekend for Manitoba. Could lead into a good week here. Big test, though, in front of them as Mount Royal comes in, and we know they're going to be good. They've got a bunch of great scorers. Pretty good goaltending as well. So I'll ask you, Jay, what are the chances this weekend that the Manitoba can split and or take both?
Not good.
Oh.
Is being as hopeful as I am. This is a prove-it weekend for this team. It's a prove-it weekend. It's a young team. It's an inexperienced team. They've gone through a lot of stuff. They have a lot of new guys coming in. They lost a lot of key contributors. A lot of the leadership is gone. But this is
Sask. They beat Sask. That's who it was.
There you go. That's a pretty big deal. A team that went to the national championship. So this is a prove-it weekend. This is an MRU team that has very quickly built themselves up to be a strong team in this conference. They are, you know, one of my favorites coming. I'm expecting a home playoff berth for the Mount Royal University Cougars this year on the men's side. And for the Bisons, this is going to be a tough test. You know, the first weekend against Lethbridge, you really saw the warts in this team's game. You saw that they need to learn how to respond and play a whole weekend, and they can't take a night off.
Well, you said Mike had made a point of telling you prior to the weekend last weekend that they don't play 60-minute games.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that the problem they had last year is they would have a fantastic first period, and they would come out flat in the second period, and that's where they would lose games. It would be tight, it would be good in the first period, in the second period, the entire lead would evaporate, and the game would just fall apart. And that's really what we saw in that Lethbridge series, was that, you know, credit to the team, they responded in game one, and they pulled out the win. Game two, not a peep. You know, it was a stronger period compared to last year, but it still was not good enough, and it still was not that 60-minute effort that they need. And these are the things that this team's going to need to go through. These are the games that matter. I said this on Hear the Herd last week. Like, these are the games that matter at the end of the year. Lethbridge is not a team that is going to get an easy ride to the playoffs. It's going to be a dogfight between them, the Bisons, and the Regina Cougars for that final playoff spot. These are the games, when it comes down to it, when it comes down to those final spots, these are the games that matter. And they just stunk. They fell apart. And full credit to the Lethbridge Pronghorns.
Brutally honest on that.
They played a very strong game last opening weekend. It was a fantastic goaltending effort by Taz Berman. But these are the games that matter. When it comes down to it, you need to go out and you need to win these games. You need to come out with fire every single time you step onto that ice, and they didn't. And when you're going up against an MRU team that has all the expectations in the world, you get to go in there and play spoiler. You get to look at them and say, no, you're not going to get that easy playoff berth. You're not going to get that home playoff date that you want so bad. We're going to come in here and we're going to test you, because this is a talented Bisons team. This is a very good team. They've got a lot of great pieces. There are a lot of good rookies like Dylan Thiessen, who I think is going to be a fantastic player for this team moving forward.
Yeah.
This is a team that can compete. It's just they need to bring it all together and they all need to buy in. If they do, they could take a game or two this weekend. If they don't, MRU is going to walk all over them.
For those that may be trying to keep track at home as to what's going on here, the history between these two teams does not favor the Bisons either. They're 12-16 all time against MRU. The last matchup came January 12th, 2019. MRU skated to a 4-1 victory. The streak currently is 4 straight losses to Mount Royal. And the away record at Mount Royal is 5-9 all time.
And
this is not going to be pretty.
Last year, we called it the Cougar Curse, because the Bisons, after losing to Mount Royal in the playoffs 2 years ago, the last time the Bisons made the playoffs, they had a home series against Mount Royal, and they lost that series. They haven't yet to beat Mount Royal, and last year had yet to beat the Regina Cougars either. They lost at the time when we had made that proclamation. It was 6 straight losses to teams named the Cougars. And I think it's extended a little bit further than that at this point.
So in 28 games against the Cougars, just taking a quick look down the list here, the Bisons have only scored more than 4 goals against the Cougars. And you're going to have to score 4 goals this weekend.
You're going to have to.
The Bisons have only scored 4 goals against the Cougars 4 times. The most recent time they did that, January 11th, 2014, in a 5-3 victory.
This is a good Mount Royal team. They play solid defensively. They have great goaltending. That's one of the things that they've got, that the men's and women's side both have, is great goaltending. And the Bisons need to score. You know, if you're Jeremy Leipzig, you need to start shooting a bit more. Keaton Jameson, he had the goal in that American swing. Shoot more. We need that. We need you to score. That's why Lucas Scrametta...
Pucks on net.
Yeah, that's why Lucas Scrametta was moved up to be a forward. That's why Ryan Carlson was moved up to be a forward, is to put that offensive power up front so they can drive more offense, and that's what you need against a team like Mount Royal.
Well, from one Mount Royal team that should have a fantastic home setup anyway, we go to another team that's coming into Manitoba, the women's hockey team, who battled hard this weekend against Saskatchewan, split the games with Saskatchewan. Did you catch the highlights in that game,
game?
So they lost 1-0 on Friday.
Okay.
1-3-1 on Saturday. On Saturday, Saskatchewan scored on their own net on a delayed penalty as well.
Ow.
So not not the best of weekends for Saskatchewan, but I'm sure they're hoping that most people forget about that. But Mountain Royal comes in having surrendered just 2 goals to the Saskatchewan Huskies. And we already said on the Canada West preview show last week, this Manitoba team is going to struggle scoring goals, which they did. They only scored 4 against Lethbridge while giving up 8.
Yeah. And 3 of those goals came from one player.
Yeah. And I look at this now. Again, take nothing away from the women's team. I know they're going to battle hard all season. But I look at this now and I go, this weekend could be the beginning of the end in terms of home playoff dates. There's still a chance. Mm-hmm. There's still an opportunity. I mean, there's Alberta and then there seems to be everybody else. But if you don't go out and you don't beat Mount Royal, Mount Royal goes to 3-1, you're 0-4. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough, it's almost impossible to make up 3 or 4 games in this conference without going on a massive win streak.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Again, Mountain Royal's got a good veteran team, like you were just saying about the men's team. Good veteran women's team. They got a lot of players in their fourth year. They got a lot of good young players coming in. They've got some incredible goaltending set up already with Zoe DeBeauville. They got some solid defenders back there. This might be an eye-opener for Manitoba this weekend.
Definitely.
Because this is a Mountain Royal team we've been talking about for 3 years now.
Yeah, and you know, I've been saying it every year that they are like my underdog pick. And this year, with the way that the conference is laid out, it looks like this could be the year where this team makes a lot of noise. You know, everyone's kind of taking a bit of a step back. And this is a Bison team that didn't have a good first weekend.
No.
Not at all.
Well, and I mean, I'll say this. The errors that the Bisons made against Lethbridge, I watched both games, correctable. Mm-hmm. It's not like they were that far. That first game against Lethbridge, some breakdowns, a few goals that maybe shouldn't have gone in. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, goaltenders might want those ones back. But correctable mistakes. But Mount Royal comes in with speed. They come in with tenacity. They come in. They're going to run you up and down, 200 feet up and down that ice. Not run you as in smash you through the boards, but they're going to make you skate for every inch of ice, as we've seen them do year after year against the Bisons. And last year, they pulled off a number of upsets. They beat Alberta twice. They beat Saskatchewan once. This is a chance for Mount Royal to really, I'm going to say, exercise the demons against Manitoba now.
Mm-hmm. And this is a team, the Manitoba Bisons team, that is not, you know, I have hopes for this team, like I do every Bisons team.
Oh, for
but
sure.
But it's going to be a difficult slog with, you know, the way that they're playing right now and the fact that they just can't score. Is Emily Mosse going to just keep scoring goals and be the one person for this team? Or? Well,
and I mean, that's the thing. We saw her score 2. We saw Jordy score on the power play. But we have yet to see anybody else sort of step. Again, I mean, you know you're going to get the back end playing what? Workington, Buchanan, for the most part, Nadusak. I mean, they're going to be your heavy hitters on the back end. And we saw Janae score a goal. Mm-hmm. But we've now accounted for all 4 goals already. We got to get some scoring from somebody else, from at least a couple other lines.
Yeah.
Hallie Edwards looked great last week working alongside Emily Mosse. Maybe we keep those two together. Maybe there's some chemistry there. But at some point, there's got to be more than just chip and chase hockey played by the Bisons here.
Yeah. It's obviously they're losing some of the uber talented players that they had the last few years. You know, you don't have Alana Sharman anymore. You don't have Erica Reeder anymore. You don't have Sparky Anderson anymore. But you need somebody to fill that gap. And it's not, you know, this is a perfect weekend to come out and for some of the newer players to show that they can shoulder that load. They can come, that they have the talent, that they can be, you know, the second coming of Alana Sharman or the second coming of Venla Hovi. This is the perfect weekend to show that. We need to see that to have any hope of this team going deep again and it being more than kind of the Jordy Zacharias show.
Manitoba currently 21-6 all time against Mount Royal. I think that's going to change this weekend, but well, it will change for sure, but we'll see on which side. But it's going to be a tough series. I think that if the Bisons can find a way to at least split, if not win both, if they can split, it's a moral victory for them. Mm-hmm. And it's a big victory against a team that has a veteran presence in it. And this is what it's going to teach them to be. Again, we've talked ad nauseum about it. experience on the women's side means everything.
Yep.
If you've been there before, you know how to win. And that's the big key. And we talked about how young Mount Royal was a few years ago, about how inexperienced they were at that level. They made the playoffs that year against Manitoba, came in, you know, wide-eyed and you know, bushy-tailed, got the smack laid down on them. They went in last year into Saskatchewan and said, we've been here before, we're coming to play, and push Saskatchewan to the brink.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of experience that we're talking about. And I think Mount Royal comes in this year and they I mean, I hate to say it, they have the advantage right now.
Yep, they definitely do.
Aside from that, folks, if you were coming down to the rink, make sure you get here maybe a little bit earlier, only because, again, parking might be at a premium with the current snowfall out there. Man, it's ugly out there.
Yep.
In saying that, though, we are getting ready for a big event in 2 weeks. And I know, Jay, you're going to probably promote this, hopefully promote this on your show next week, but or have been promoting on your show. Pledgerama comes up. Pledgerama is always a fun time for us. We're going to have a great show that weekend or that week for us anyway. Lots of stuff happening that night. It's Guaranteed Ticket Thursday here on The Hockey Show. And everybody's going to go, what's Guaranteed Ticket Thursday? We are going to have pairs of tickets to give away for pledges. If you come and you want to pledge, or you phone, you want to pledge, or you're online, you want to pledge, you want to donate to The Hockey Show, we will enter you for those draws if you're going to pre-pledge. We won't take any pledges after the show, but we will take them during the show and before the show, obviously, in terms of the build-up. We are going to be guaranteeing at least, this is the key, at least two sets of tickets to a sold-out show in Winnipeg.
Nice.
Now you're going to go, well, what show is that? I want to know what show it is. No. We can tell you, but that just wouldn't be as fun. And the reason it's not going to be as fun is because these are, if you're a sports fan, you'll appreciate it in terms of getting everything going. But if you're not a sports fan, you might go, yeah. But I will tell you this. You know what? I'm just going to announce it because I don't care, because it's 2 weeks and I want people excited about it. And I don't care about you know, keeping the doors on this. You have to be 19 plus. Here's the key. You have to be 19 plus to win these two specific tickets.
Check one box.
The two sets of tickets that we're going to be giving away, at least the two sets anyway, but the first two sets of tickets we'll be giving away, Jay and Dan podcast here in Winnipeg.
Ooh, I like that.
Jay and Dan podcast, which happens on November 2nd at the Garrick Theater on Gary Street. Saturday, November 2nd, we will give away those tickets. So two sets of tickets to that. I don't know. It sounds like it's going to be pretty fun.
If I didn't have my night booked, I would enter.
I'm just saying. Sounds like it could be fun. I'm not saying you have to go, Jay, but if you win tickets, you could go.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jay Onright, famous in Manitoba for working on the Big Breakfast on whatever, on City TV or whatever it was prior to that, or whatever they called it before that. Anyway, and then they did the great Sports Center highlight desk for the longest time, moved to the States, worked in Fox Sports 1, and then came back and are doing their own craziness. So nice to see Jay and Dan come through, stop in. Again, four people, two sets of tickets to that show. Maybe you like hockey. Maybe you like some hockey. Guaranteed Ticket Thursday will also see you, if you pledge, entered into the draws. It's not only for those tickets, but the draws for two tickets to the Manitoba Moose. That's going to be on Hat Night on November 15th. So you can go get a free Manitoba Moose hat as well.
Oh, yeah.
And we will also draw for Winnipeg Ice tickets sometime, I think it's in January or February, for on Peyton Krebs bobblehead night.
I mean, that's a good one. The captain of the team, Vegas draft pick.
Exactly.
Peyton Krebs bobblehead.
The limited edition Peyton Krebs bobblehead. Mm. So there's going to be lots of tickets. We're going to give away some Bison tickets. Again, Guaranteed Ticket Thursday. Guaranteed Ticket Thursday on The Hockey Show that day. So if you're interested, make sure you get your pledges in prior to or during the show, not after the show. If you pledge after the show, those tickets are gone, unfortunately. There may be other tickets for you to win, but they're gone after the show. We will make the draw after the show, probably within the half hour after the show. Make sure we get everybody contacted so they can get everything planned out. Because again, October 24th to November 2nd isn't a lot of time. We don't want you, you know, filling your schedule on a Saturday night when you could go see Jay and Dan, for example. But we will make sure that you have time to plan for everything. So Guaranteed Ticket Tuesday on the Thursday. Also that day, I'm going to be up early that day. I'm going to come in and do the morning show, 6 to 11. It's a long day. I have volunteered myself to take on a bunch of new and fresh-faced rookies here at the station and have them sit in with me. So we're going to have a little bit of fun doing that. However, I want to announce that we're going to have the gentleman who played our intro song last week, Ariel Posen, will be coming in that morning to talk about his tour. We will also give away tickets to that tour event.
Even more.
Yeah, so more tickets. That will happen all morning. We'll have draws for some of the tickets in the morning. We'll also keep a pair handy for the hockey show that night. So we are going to give away tickets to almost anything. Well, not everything, but almost every event. If you're not pledging yet, you should be. There's pre-Pledge-O-Rama draws that are happening right now for tickets to who knows what. There's tickets to every single venue we have in the city, basically, that we're giving away. Four people were announced today. I don't have their names handy, but I will find that out. Four people won today. Get your name in tomorrow. Pledge early, and you can certainly make a major impact in your life by winning more tickets. Yay. And again, wonderful. If you're pledging to the show, pledging to the hockey show, say you phone in, you say, I want to pledge to the hockey show, we will also enter you for all the tickets we're giving away. It's like double the happiness. If, and this is the other big thing, if you come to the station, physically show up to the station in person to come and meet, greet, learn about the station, talk to the people in the station, I will also personally guarantee double the amount of entries for you.
That's a lot of entries.
So if you show up and you go, yeah, I want to enter, you're not only entered for, right now as we have it, four sets of pairs of tickets, you will now be entered a second time for four sets of pairs of tickets. Eight opportunities for you to win.
Gotta love it.
That's not too bad. So all that stuff is happening on Thursday. Anyway, Pledge-O-Rama this year, it's a big event for us because we are actually looking at replacing the physical antenna. Mm-hmm. On top of the Richardson building.
It's a big project.
It is
a very important project.
Yeah, it's a monster project that will take a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, and probably some money. So that's what we are working towards this year. If you're wondering why we raise this money, it's not just to go into the coffers and throw pizza parties and have fun. It's to actually do a major capital project. And this year we are actually raising the money, again, to replace the aging and ancient antenna. Basically, we had, you know, what looked like, you know, one of those antennas that people had on their farms, 40 years ago, and just barely got enough static TV in there or whatever. We're replacing one of those. We're going to put up a modern, everyday, awesome antenna so we can actually, you know, reach everybody within the city limits now. I think we already do. I was out driving the other day. I think we get out to Eli.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. On a clear day, you're getting some pretty good reach out there. So obviously we appreciate everybody who has pledged already. Those people who won tickets today, obviously you guys have done that. Thank you for doing that. That's a big, big help for us. But I want to be clear on this. If you get any you pledge to the hockey show, you will be guaranteed for guaranteed ticket Thursday. We will give away tickets that night. Lots of tickets. You will go out. If you're a winner, you will go out. We guarantee it. It will be a night out for everybody. Jay, are you doing anything for Pledge? Did you have anything planned? Anything going?
Not really. I've got two shows going on UFM now.
You're
so
busy, so.
Yeah, I'm pretty busy, so just trying to I'm trying to figure out what episode I've got coming up for the Pledge Armor. I think I'm still doing the War Stories series. On
okay. I listened to the story. What was last week's?
Last week was about the Joker and interpreting media, because I had to get that. Well, that was this week. Last week was Juno Beach.
Yes, I listened to that one, and I was like, oh, that's super, like, it's super interesting. I mean, I'm not a big war history guy, but just listening to the stories that you were telling, I was like, hey, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, episode 3 should be next week, and it's about women in war.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Bringing the ladies into the mix. I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I mean, again, you can comment more on this, obviously, because it's your show. But, like, how long does it take you to research that stuff? Because, I mean, we're talking, like, this is 60 years ago now in terms of how long it was. I mean, there are records still around everywhere, but like, you spending your week at the archives or what?
No, it's usually, you know, some of the episodes I tend to do for a lot of the stuff I've done, stuff that I already know, stuff that I have a lot of expertise in already or knowledge of already.
Yeah.
But for the war story stuff, it takes a few, you know, a few evenings here and there, just looking through articles. And you know, there's a lot of resources about Juno Beach that you can look at. Actually, I borrowed a lot of stuff from the Normandy and D-Day Encyclopedia, which is a great website, which has a lot of documents and stuff on there that you can use, and you know learn about that era in history. But usually, it's a few hours of research here and there, writing up scripts, jotting down notes and stuff. Some of the other episodes, like last week, it was more of a, you know, fly by the seat of my pants type thing. I had a few notes here and there. But it was more of, you know, just talking about art and how you interpret art. But
I will say, I don't know if this is, you're welcome to join me on Thursday if you want to do that. For at least a half hour, if not, I'm going to try and stretch it into an hour because I think it's super interesting. There will be a storyteller's hour in there.
Okay.
And the storyteller's hour isn't about stories, obviously. It's about the songs that are written and the stories behind them.
Mm.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that. There's a really good one that I found for one of the songs I want to play, and the song is super famous. And I don't know if anybody actually knows the history behind it.
Okay.
So it's a super cool sort of little thing. I'm going to work on doing that for probably the 8 to 9 hour in the morning, so people can get hear some cool stuff or whatever. But I'll figure it all out. I got to sit down and plan that all out. So, but I mean, again, if you want to come in and hear some stories, or if you're going to pop on the radio, hear some stories, we'll get all that going. So that'll be good. I guess we're just about out of time here. I'm going to ask you one quick thing here. We talked, you know, Potato. We talked. If you had to grade the Jets right now, 4 games in, not a huge sample size. Forwards, defense, goaltending. How would you grade it?
Okay, the forwards is an A. It's the one part of the team where I am very confident in.
Okay,
this is one of the best offensive teams. This is one of the most complete offensive teams in the NHL.
Yeah.
Some of the players still need to get going a little bit. So I give that an A. Defense, on a good night, it's a D. You know, I like... Heinola has been just a revelation, you know, since the preseason. He just jumped in and he took his spot and he's not going to let it go. Josh Morrissey, when he's there and he's healthy, he's one of the best defensemen in the NHL.
We talking low D, D plus? Are we getting into it close?
Just a solid D.
Square in the middle? 53 to 57, somewhere in there?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
All right, yeah.
Just, you know, barely getting over 50%.
All right, yeah.
And, you know, it's just the other parts with, like, I like Pullman. He still needs room to grow.
Sure.
I've never really been a fan of Kulikov, but he's been serviceable while he's been there. I could sit here for a whole hour and talk about how I don't like Potato, and that's a whole other issue. So a D, and the goaltending, it's a C. You know, it's passing.
I would say I'm not far off on those either. I think the forwards B-ish so far, just because I don't like the bottom six right now. But defense is D plus at the very best of nights. And goaltending, I think, would be a B to a C right now, only because, again, Connor Hellebuck's got to get consistency back in his game. Mm-hmm. So, with that, though, folks, we are out of here for another week as we're getting ready for Free Range Radio coming up right away. Skippy going to have a replay of a show as the winter weather out there. Winter weather is keeping him from being on the roads tonight, and I don't blame him. So, I'm going to get out of here. Here's a little more Colin James with 40 Light Years. Again, his brand new one. Coming in on 101.5 UMFM. It is a hockey show. We will see you again next Thursday, everybody. Take care and drive safely out there. In the sky and it's here to stay. I'd like to get to know you, but you're 40 light years away.